Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here, as always.
What's up, guys?
And we're joined by first time, our rookie of the night, Justin. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, in-house.
In-house. Yeah. Yeah, in our plush studio.
Yeah. Leather.
With the dogfish head canvas. In hand. Yeah.
Side note, how are you guys on language, anything like that? Do I have any restrictions?
Explicit is
say?
Fine.
Oh, no, great. Yeah. Yeah. You can say whatever you want.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You can start things off all dirty.
I was going to say, I'm sitting on the jack off couch.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I sat on it to watch the movie.
You're sitting on the fap couch, man. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, what's up? You want to say something?
No,
snap to me.
Never mind.
All with authority. Okay, here we go. Well, today's episode is about a really cool Indonesian flick from 2011 called The Raid. Redemption in the States.
Yeah. You got to say Redemption. Otherwise, The Raid, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Well, what's up with the name? Is that, Justin, do you know anything about that?
So, I mean, that's Sony's doing when they brought it over to America. They added that, I mean, for seemingly no reason. Apparently, there is a legitimate reason, something to do with securing the rights to the name, The Raid. But it's still dumb, and it sounds like something that they would have done anyway, just because... We like our movies to have colons in the title.
Yeah. We need to have more stuff.
We always need colons in the title.
We always need colon.
So, Sam, you want to give us the rundown on the cast and maybe a brief synopsis? And, I mean, this movie is pretty straightforward, so the synopsis is going to be pretty short.
Okay, so the cast are probably just a bunch of Indonesian guys you don't know, right?
Yeah.
You got Iko Uwais,
sure
Joe Taslim.
Yeah.
Those are the two main dudes, Rama and Jaka.
Right.
The two good
and then
guys.
There's Mad Dog, who is just a really awesome short fighting guy. he's played by Yayan Ruhian. So the synopsis, it's a pretty simple story. It's just a bunch of these police officers go into this almost like a drug lord building, I'd say.
Yeah, it's
it's like a compound.
Like, it's like a compound, but it's like peppered with actual tenants and tenants who are crack or like drug users.
Yeah. And like they manufacture this stuff there too.
It plays like a video game. It's like every level in the compound is like a level. It gets harder the higher you go. You have less weapons. It starts out with guns, and then they only have knives, and then they only have fists.
It goes backwards.
Yeah.
It's like the new CS gun game if you play that.
I really like the fact that after the first wave of bad guys, second wave of bad guys came in and they're a lot motherfucking darker. Like the darkest mofos they could find with machetes.
Typical.
Yeah.
But they basically just go up each level of the building trying to get to the boss at the top.
If you saw Dread, that basically kind of lifted parts of this plot, which is fine if you're going to borrow from it.
Okay.
Borrow from a good movie.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing. They go into the big compound and, you know, shoot their way in and try to get to the boss.
Yeah.
Nice.
Except with more Indonesian people.
Yeah, a lot
tiny,
more.
Tiny Indonesian.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell how tall people are. We were talking about how like short some of the dudes seem, especially like the main awesome choreographic Mad Dog. I noticed that like there's a couple scenes where they're next to an elevator and like they're all like
the
face
button
height
seems
with
really
the
high.
I don't know, maybe they're just elevators for giants.
Yeah, it's part of the building code in Indonesia. The buttons have to be low.
They didn't build a set to scale.
Yeah. So that's a little hard to tell. But yeah, they try to get to the top.
Right. And it's basically they're fighting pretty much all the tenants in there. The person who recommended this was our special guest today, Justin. Why did this is your second or third viewing, and why what how did you even land on this
movie? Yeah,
this is my third viewing actually. Landed on it just because a couple of the film blogs that I read, Film Junk and Pajiba, however you pronounce that. I say Pajiba. They both reviewed it when it came out, and actually Film Junk didn't review it, but they talked about it.
Okay.
But Pajiba did review it, and it was just this is
it's like
you know,
a great
really
review.
Good, really great, something you wouldn't expect. It didn't get released to a lot of theaters in America. It mainly was just straight to video almost.
Uh-huh.
But it was, I mean, kind of genre-defying in terms of, hey, do you like, you know...
Action movies?
Yeah, foreign action movies, basically. And
it really
pushes the envelope. There's a lot of stuff in this movie that you haven't really seen other places in terms of, like, violence or... how they go through their kills. There's a lot of kill shots in this movie that haven't been done before.
It's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
So if you like gore and just being like, oh man, that was awesome.
Yeah.
There's at least five or six parts in this movie that'll make you do that. So
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's for sure. And I mean, I know I was like moaning and groaning like a cheap whore watching those like, like knife scenes and all the fight scenes. And you know, Sam was just sitting there all smiles. This is the happy as a clam because that shit
good
was
stuff.
Was good shit.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll just hit it up really fast. We'll go down from Sam back down to me. What you liked about the movie in general and favorite scene.
Okay. I liked a lot of stuff in the movie.
Okay.
I don't know how many. I think this dude, the director, I didn't go over the director.
Evans?
His name is Gareth Evans. He's just some like white dude, I guess. But he's only directed three other movies, mm-hmm. and I think they're all action movies. But like, he has a really good sense of style. It's almost like Paul Greengrass, who did like the Bourne movies.
Yeah.
Except he doesn't use shaky cam quite, and it's not as jarring when he uses shaky cam.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more controlled. But like, yeah, he has a really good sense of how to direct a scene. So I like that stuff, and I also really liked, this is nerdy because I'm kind of a sneakerhead.
Yeah.
Everyone had like cool stuff. They were like, yeah. It was legit. The
they're
like,
styling.
One dude got killed by like he did like a neck breaker basically on a door sill, and he was wearing SB Dunks from like 3 or 4 years ago.
Like,
and
that's
I
what
like,
I would
cool.
use to kick someone in the face.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, that's cool. That's nice. that's cool to me. Because usually in most movies, like it's just like, whatever like prop shoes they get from
like generic
cheap
you don't
place.
Even notice yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. Right,
there were a couple of lingering shots on people's shoes in this.
Lots of
yeah.
feet shots.
You saw
lots
Mad Dog's feet and then at the end you saw the brother's feet as
they
walked away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so
that was
Evans
yeah.
likes the Evans of like a foot fetish.
Yeah,
guy.
He's a sneakerhead too maybe.
Like the Jets coach.
So that was cool. So I like that. Do you want me to do a favorite scene?
Yeah, let's do favorite
sure.
scene, man.
Okay, my favorite scene was there are a couple of knife fight scenes that are pretty awesome, and I like the first one where the main good guy is carrying the guy that got like blasted in the head and ear.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
still
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
They're in the hallway, and it's like maybe a 6 or 7 minute shot of him just like fighting a bunch of guys using knives and like a baton, like a police baton. So I really like that scene. That was awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a great fucking scene.
I think that's the first major action sequence, too. I mean, like, it's action throughout, but that's, like,
yeah.
the first
that's
major,
the first
like, concentrated
scene.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's after they run out of bullets.
Yeah.
Then this,
throw away
then
their
this
guns.
Happens. Yeah.
Infinite
yeah.
ammo codes turn off, and
yeah.
it's just back to
it definitely
handheld.
Has that trope where when you're shooting your gun a bunch and you run out of bullets and you don't have any more clips, you
yeah.
just throw the gun away.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As opposed to just holding on to it in case you find more bullets.
Or just yeah. using it to pistol whip people.
Yeah. Or, yeah, yeah. using it as a weapon, but no, they just throw the gun away and, like, hey, I'll find another one. And they do.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a crazy
yeah.
thing. They always
yeah.
do.
They nice. Always do. What about you, Justin? What did you think was? What did you like?
Yeah, my favorite scene probably is in that opening, the first knife fight scene.
Yeah.
There's a particular. God. It's not even necessarily a kill shot, I guess, but it's pretty.
When he drags it across
yes,
his leg.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah.
You haven't seen something like that before, and it's probably the first time in the movie where you'll go, oh,
it's
kind of.
It's pretty solid. He takes a knife and he drags it from a dude's pelvis down to his kneecap.
Yeah, yeah, just straight down the thigh.
Oh
yeah.
my god,
and
that's disgusting.
It's well done. It's it's one of those scenes where you'd swear that they really did that to someone.
Like, yeah, because all of the violence is
yeah,
like
it's
super
really
realistic.
Well done. And this movie has an extremely small budget, and so.
Do you know the budget off the top of your head?
I think we checked.
On
like
IMDb,
$1 million.
Around $1 million.
Yeah.
For the amount of action.
Yeah, I mean, maybe dollars go farther in Indonesia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm guessing for sure.
I've never been there.
I bet they do.
But still, I mean, I would. If this was done in America, they would probably use a lot of CG blood. Like that seems to be something.
And
popular,
they did use
like
a little bit of that, but it was only in the scenes where there's like bullets. Whenever people got shot.
But like in 300, there's a lot of CGI blood spurts, and you can tell. But it's still okay. It's still stylish, but you can tell it's CG. And this one,
it looks really
legitimate,
realistic.
And it shows on people's faces and on their arms, and you always see like signs left from the previous fight, and it just. There are certain times where you ask yourself, like, did they really just get a bunch of people together and just kill them and give their families money? Because that's how it looks.
Yeah.
So
it's very believable.
Yeah, that first part of my favorite. Also, the table fight towards the end, one of the last fight
cool
scenes.
That's cool, too.
It's real quick. It's just with one particular person while they're fighting a group of people. But the two guys jump up on opposite ends of a long table and run at each other.
There's white powder going
and there's,
everywhere.
Yeah, white powder flying
great.
Everywhere, and they're
great.
Flipping over each other.
I want it to be baby powder.
Talcum powder.
Yeah, yeah,
that's why you got to wear those good shoes. So you have traction.
Yeah.
And it's that was just really
throw
well
your
done.
Nikes on. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like that. That's good, too.
All right. Okay.
Go ahead, Andy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. I really like the table shot, but that's for another reason. And I think I'm going to. Have you seen Hardboiled before?
Yeah, once, a long time ago.
The Chinese
one? I played the video game.
Oh, yeah, there's a game.
There's a video game for Hardboiled?
Yeah, it's not called Hardboiled. It's called something.
It's Stranglehold.
Else.
Stranglehold's the one on PlayStation 3.
It was on Xbox 362.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Stranglehold.
Yeah, like Chang Ifat's the main character. Yeah. And it has a lot of the same John Woo styles to it.
Yeah. I really like the fact that when I saw the table scene and the rolling around with the powder.
Yeah.
As the first like major kill scene in Hard Boiled.
Yeah. In the restaurant?
Yeah, in the restaurant. Yeah.
All you needed was some doves and then we've been. Yes,
the doves, man.
Exactly. Yeah. John Woo directed this
right?
scene.
Yeah. You need that a better tomorrow.
That's a that should have been at the end of the movie when they're walking out.
Yeah.
It comes out of his shoe.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
The Okay, you guys both picked the knife scene. I guess I'll change it up. You went with the table scene. Sam went for that whole knife sequence in general.
Yeah.
I am going to say when the bad guy hits the main, you know, whatever, the intercom.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, police. Hey, guys, I'm going to, throw it down. There's police in the house.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead and get them.
Yeah.
And when the lights shut off,
yeah,
they're waiting to breach.
And that's really cool,
flare,
too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And the guy shoots the shotgun.
That's,
yeah.
I think that's really when everything just turns to shit.
Yeah.
And when
basically
the movie starts.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really solid. It's like, how are they going to get the ball rolling? And they got the ball rolling and it didn't stop for like an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the lulls in the action, there's only about 5 minutes of just like exposition where.
Right.
Okay, where are we? Let's recap.
Yeah, it's paced.
And now it gets worse.
It's
like that's
really
every
well.
Time is, wow, that was really terrible. Oh, now it's worse. And there's been three of those breaks throughout the movie, but none of them are longer than about 5 minutes.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite scene. I think in general, I'll go back to the pacing with that too, because even when you have those lulls, it's like I kind of wanted those lulls because I was getting almost exhausted watching everyone.
Yeah,
just
it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's
and it
so
was,
intense.
It really is intense. And fists are flying at like a million miles an hour, right?
Yeah.
And just like you can't even catch all the movements. And it's really fun to watch. Pacing, I thought, was really well done. Did you go over generally what you liked about it or did you just do favorite scene?
I think I just did favorite scene.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, I guess, real quick, what I liked about it is, the way they fight, it looks exhausting. Like they get sweaty, and when the fights are over, they're messed up, there's blood on their faces. Contrast that with something like the Matrix movies where when they fight, it looks good, but they don't really look like they're doing much. They're flowing, but they're not putting a lot of effort behind the punches. In the second and third one, they got really bad with using CG completely, which kind of ruined it. But even just looking at the first one, when they actually just used people, the moves just didn't have the same kind of force behind it. But in this one, they're really trying. And it makes it even more impressive by the fact that they're really not hitting each other because it looks like they're putting everything they have into every swing.
That's sick. Yeah.
There's particularly one fight towards the end, the last fight, like the big boss fight, basically.
Yeah.
It just looks exhausting. I mean,
the
it's like
2v1?
It's 2-on-1, and it's like a 10-minute scene. And like it cuts away after the first like minute, and then it comes back for like another 10 straight, and it's exhausting to watch. Like I mean, I can't imagine. I'd be so tired, I'd mess up. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. It
seems like that. And like I was just thinking about Crouching Tiger. And remember that whole like period of movies in the States when it's like, look at these Chinese
wire fighting.
Like,
fighting,
they're so graceful.
Like the House of Flying Daggers.
House of Flying Daggers.
Even Kill Bill a little bit.
Even Kill Bill, yeah. And you see like grace, and this one is like, fuck the grace. It's gritty, it's nasty, and it's just it's
in your
brutal.
Face, yeah.
It's brutal. Yeah. I thought that was, and I'm gonna have a hard time thinking of bad things, but let's talk about what you thought was a little iffy in this movie.
I have just like a really, it's pretty nitpicky. It's just in the 2v1 fight.
Yeah,
it would have made more sense since there's two of them, just for one of them to go for like a rear naked choke and then like wrap his legs around his body in a body triangle so he can't do anything else, and then the other guy just pound on him. So that could have been ended a lot faster, but I'm glad they didn't because it was cool. But yeah, that was my only nitpick.
All right. Cool.
It seemed like they didn't take it super seriously just at that part.
Yeah.
They wanted it to be fun.
It was kind of one of those, it was like Justin says, the big boss battle, so it was very extravagant in the
It would have been a little less awesome if they just did that.
Yeah. Usually in the bigger fights, like the one-on-one fights, the punches don't seem to do as much damage as they do when it's just a room full of people.
Well, the little guys.
Yeah.
They're all lightweights and like bantam weights.
Yeah. But like in the hallways when there's, 10, 15 guys coming at the protagonist, every punch he throws seems to knock somebody down.
That's
like it
true.
Actually does damage.
Well, he's a bigger dude.
But then when it's the one-on-one fights,
yeah.
they go a lot longer. It's like, man, I've been accidentally hit in the face before,
yeah.
and it just ruins your day. Like, I need to sit down. And these guys are getting wailed on and getting right back up and keep going at it. So, I mean, that gets a little at certain points you'd be like, wow, this fight's still going on. Like, I can't believe that guy's not knocked out from what just happened.
Yeah.
Especially that one dude with the machete, like the kind of darker dude who had kind of a...
The guy who put it through the wall.
Yeah. Who kept putting his machete through the wall, that dude. He seemed to be okay for a long time, even though he got beat up a couple times.
Then he got thrown out a window.
Yeah.
Put an end to that.
He's probably okay still. He's just laying out there.
Yeah, because you never see him die. He's just laying there, and he gets up and goes back inside. So I don't know.
He just goes home. We've seen a lot of those scenes where people start jumping out of windows and using people as a break. Is that movie? There's something in Looper about that, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think. There's another movie where someone jumps out and uses another guy.
Austin Powers, Spy Who Shagged Me.
Great.
Is that
does
really
happen, yeah. Well, that girl gets shot by a rocket, and they launch out the window, and then she keeps getting shot, and every time she's like, you can't win powers. And he's like, why won't you die? And they fall out. They're falling, and he slowly drags her body over, and then they land on top of each other. That's what came to my mind first. I'm sure you're thinking of something else.
I think that was in Casino Royale, too.
Casino Royale.
The first fight.
I only saw that movie once.
I saw that movie once, too.
Not a big fan of new Bond flicks. But Skyfall looks good.
Skyfall does look good. A blonde Javier Bardem.
Sam Mendes, a legitimate director.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think it was another foreign movie. You know, it was probably some Japanese movie.
Okay.
Or the jumping out. I guess I'm trying to think. Is it my turn to go about things I...
Sure, yeah.
Things I didn't like. I mean, it's an action movie. You can't really harp on it too much because it's like... Yeah. It is what it is, and it's not trying to be like a spectacular.
And it doesn't take itself like too seriously.
That's true.
Yeah, it knows what you want to see. Definitely.
And it takes
that goal.
Everything that needs to be done well is executed perfectly. I think you could have executed more, but you know, I'm trying to think things that I didn't like. Maybe the white Indonesian. You know, that part was a little.
Oh, that didn't really bug me because like. There are a lot of people who look like that in Bangladesh too.
I'm not bothered by his whiteness. Oh. I'm bothered by the fact. Am I that much of a xenophobe?
I don't know. You might be.
His
character did seem out of place. He showed up to work in a polo shirt, and everybody else was wearing.
That is true. He did wear a polo shirt.
The polo.
It's like, dude, did you not get the memo?
We're supposed to be wearing body armor.
He's not wearing a helmet.
He just has a Kevlar vest and like
no elbow pads.
That white hair. That's what's going to protect him.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like
he seems a little out of place.
Well, the character in general and how they use it to deal with, you know, throughout the plot, and I kind of get it. You know, you almost need him in there, but like the ending with him, he probably didn't even need that.
Yeah, it was almost as climactic as the whole movie is. The ending was almost a little anticlimactic.
Like right.
You have your big scene and you think, oh, there's going to be an even bigger one to really end the movie.
Uh-huh.
And then really like, oh no, what you just saw, that was actually the final fight scene. Like that was it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that'd be my only nitpick is how they use him as a character and kind of like as a device to move the
you're
plot.
A lever to advance the plot. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I can
exactly.
see that. That makes sense.
But, you know, that being said, we didn't have too much nitpicky stuff to talk about it, but let's hear your review out of 10 and why. I guess, Justin, do you have a perfect movie that's a 10? Because we have a...
I have a hard time with numbers. Like, not with numbers generally,
I'm
going
to do E times 3. That's going to be what I think about
thing,
this movie.
Like, we had a friend who was on here earlier, Soup.
Yeah,
Mr. Soup. He says that 10 is pretty much the mythical unicorn of a film.
Yeah, I'm
but
not
I don't
sure.
know. It all depends on if you can give some of the people listening a kind of perspective on what you would think or consider like a 9 or a 10.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody has their own movies. It's hard to find. Like every time I see the people, like different magazines or websites will put out like a top 100 every 5 or 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And usually always in the top like 5, usually number 1 is Citizen Kane. And I don't really find that movie all that good. maybe for its time when it came out, but not anymore. Right.
You're talking about like the American Film Association stuff.
Yeah,
like
Or maybe just like any Joe Schmo.
Or just
with
anybody.
Blog.
Roger Ebert
no, I mean, like,
probably
they have
Citizen Kane.
Yeah,
like,
Leonard Maltin probably loves Citizen Kane.
Yeah, they have that. They have that show that comes on like once a year. It's like the top 100 American films, and like Citizen Kane is always like either 1 or 2.
And so if that's what you consider a 10, like I wouldn't consider that a 10. So it's hard to really.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
What about a popular movie thing? Would you count The Godfather as a 10?
Yeah,
Godfather 2 as a 10.
2 would be. I'd put 2 above 1.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I would put 2 above 1. You would not.
That's one of the rare
like
sequels that surpasses.
Yeah,
the
2 is great though. Yeah,
right.
They're both.
I think they had this conversation.
Godfather
3
didn't
exist.
Scream 2.
Yeah.
Scream
it's
2
an
is
the winning exception.
Yeah.
I think that was the line.
Okay. Well,
so I don't have numbers or 2 thumbs up. I mean, I give it 2 thumbs up. Take that you know, for what you will. But I don't have a number scale or anything. I liked it. You can tell just from what I've said. I liked it. I think most people, if you like action movies,
if you recommend it,
you
like
can't go wrong.
Right. Okay.
I got the reason I saw it a second time is because one of my friends wanted to go see Expendables 2 when that came out.
Yeah.
And I texted him, was like, hey, instead of doing that, why don't you just come over and watch The Raid? I still have it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, oh, what's that? But okay, fine. So he came and watched that. And he was like, yeah, I probably made a better choice.
Right.
Oh, so okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, The Expendables is kind of a different
dose, too.
Oh, yeah. The Expendables 2 is probably like a different... Like, this movie has completely unknowns being badass. That's
just
going to be...
a great movie.
That's just going to be like a cameo fest where you're like, he shot someone. That's
neat. I feel
like
if you're making a movie that's a send-up to 80s action movies, it should at least be as good as an 80s action movie.
Yeah.
Expendables
kind of
failed at that. But.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll just go with the two... a favorable rating.
Favorable rating.
From Justin.
Yeah.
Recommendation.
And let's hear your number scale, my man.
Okay. I would probably
let's see if we
give
agree
this...
with it.
Like a strong 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Because it's a really, really good just straight up action movie if that's what you want to see.
Yeah.
You just get awesome action. And it pulls you in. Because like when we started watching this, I didn't really know like what to expect because I knew it was like critically acclaimed. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sure, you know, how much I would like it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like quite in the mood for an action movie because I'd just been to a really, really goofy party. But
those deadline parties are a killer, man.
Yeah, that's one term.
Yeah.
It was cool, and it really pulled me in, especially at the beginning because of how like fast it is. It gives you a sense of importance.
Yeah.
Like, hey, these are all the characters. This is what we're gonna do in this building. Let's go.
Yeah, there's about 10 minutes of like, here's where everybody is, and then after that, it just hits the gas and
that's
the rest of the
it's
movie.
It's no fucking around trying
so,
to set up like
romantic.
The
very beginning, you're gonna be like, how long
shit.
Is this gonna? Where do I see someone punched? You will just about 10 minutes.
That's what I loved about it too, and I think there's a little like a snippet in the beginning of the movie where they're all in the van and the guy's explaining the mission and the protagonist. Is like, wait, why are we doing this? And the other guy's like, who fucking cares?
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're just going to storm the building. That's what I really enjoyed.
That's what's up.
Say, segue.
Yeah.
That segues nice into Looper.
Yeah.
When you want to
talk
about
that.
Which
we will be doing that in the second podcast after this one.
Oh, we're doing two separate ones.
We're doing two separate ones.
Oh.
Yeah, man, you get the 2-for-1 special.
Yeah, I thought we'd just do one and then just people can stop it. But two separate ones is fine.
We're going to chop it up.
But Strong 8. It was really very, very enjoyable. Very entertaining.
This is very
I really like the fight scenes.
Because Sam's scale is very. I like to say you're a very particular man. You know.
I don't know, man. I give a lot of things tens.
He's actually given more tens than I have.
Yeah,
you want to give someone a perspective of what an 8.5 was? The last one you can remember off the top of your head.
See, I don't remember. It might have been Leon the Professional.
Yeah, see,
I give that like an 8 or an 8.5. I like that a lot too.
Yeah.
What do you
I think
give
I
a
like
10?
This one. I think I like this one a little more.
He gave Tree of Life a 10.
Oh man,
I tried to
watch that movie and just.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's that scene in 2001 Space Odyssey that's like 15 minutes of just
craziness.
And Tree of Life has that in the beginning where it's just like, this is space. And you just watch space for like 10 minutes, just outer space, watching nebulas come together. And you're like, what am I watching?
It's a story of Genesis.
Yeah, basically. Genesis. It's creation. I get it. But
it's
just space. Like, I don't know. And that's kind of when I tuned out of that movie Tree of Life. But I tried to watch.
See, that's his 10. I think he gave another one a 10.
Moonrise Kingdom.
He gave Moonrise Kingdom a 10, which is a solid movie too.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but I think
we have a copy
of
it. We can give it to you.
Yeah, you
really.
The preview makes it look very Wes Anderson-y.
It is very Wes Anderson-y.
Every shot is perfectly centered.
It's going to be in the next version of Merriam-Webster, like Wes Anderson-y as an adjective.
That is a style.
Whenever shit is real quirky and like...
A lot of yellows, and every shot is like symmetrical.
Yeah,
there's
a lot
shot.
Of yellows.
Everything is
perfect.
The thing is, it's a Wes Anderson movie. At its like, he knows he has his perfect form now.
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
You guys heard his 2 10s and his 8.5.
Yeah.
I am gonna give it a 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah, because I gave Leon an 8.5.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's close enough to get that 8.
I think I like this more than Leon.
What's up? What's up, Justin?
I have a hard enough time boiling it down to just, you know, whole numbers. I can't imagine using fractions also, like 8.5.
We
that's
just
even
do the
0.5
scale, dude. Can you think, now that we've given you like some sort of...
That's 20 numbers to choose from. Choosing from 10 was hard.
Oh, we go to 1 to 15.
Yeah. What?
I'm joking.
Oh, God. I don't know. My example of a 10, I think a movie that I really... Which is like, I can watch this over and over again, and it's one of those where if I find someone who hasn't seen it, I really want to like sit them down and make them watch it would be like The Prestige. That's probably my favorite Chris Nolan movie. I know everybody likes Batman and Dark Knight.
I haven't seen The Prestige.
Oh, well, then here we go. We're going to have to do that.
Yeah, like whenever The Prestige came out, The Illusionist also
came out.
The Illusionist also came out.
The Prestige, we have it on Blu-ray.
Well, I was saying that's my like 10, if I were to grab a 10 movie.
Prestige would be your 10.
That's my favorite Chris Nolan
movie. I really
do
like Prestige a lot. I need to see that.
I mean, I know Dark Knight is his most successful movie, even more so than like Dark Knight Rises. And Inception was really, really good. Love Inception.
Yeah.
And Memento is a classic. Like, nobody's ever filmed a movie backwards before. Like that, that's amazing. But Prestige, just movie.
I think
rocks
and Michael Caine was great in that one too.
Yeah, he was.
I like
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Since I first heard your screams, Phoebe Falls.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that people really like The Illusionist more than The Prestige in general.
I disagree with
someone.
That.
I disagree too.
You well, what?
Almost
you
all of 100% of my friends like The Prestige.
So that's not. I've talked
more
to
than
so many people that
I like
the Illusionist better.
But I haven't seen The Prestige.
I like The Prestige a lot.
I saw The Illusionist and I liked it, but The Prestige just is a different movie. They're not even the same.
Bowie's in it for fuck's sake.
Yeah, David Bowie playing Nikola Tesla. Like, how do you do
plays
that's
Nikolai
perfect
Tesla.
Casting.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I
didn't
know Bowie was
in that.
I'm
looking for the potato in his pants like in Labyrinth.
Yeah. Okay, I was about to say, God damn it.
Yeah, and that ball.
Yeah.
That are
caterpillar.
You looking for this?
That caterpillar
Jennifer
just
Connelly?
Hangs out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. that's my 7.5, and it's a very strong recommendation.
Yeah.
In the fact that this is a great action movie.
Yeah.
You don't really have to think about anything when you're watching it. It's so intense.
Yeah.
And I haven't felt this way about an action movie in a long, like a kung fu or like a martial arts one, because 13 Assassins is one of my favorite action movies
really
in the last like five years, right?
Yeah.
But this is like apples and oranges, right?
Yeah.
It's like if you like samurai warfare and just like warfare in general, you go for the 13 Assassins route.
Which is great.
When you're in the mood for kung fu, I would say, or like some sort of
martial arts
in your face thing, is go for the Raid Redemption.
Or you go for like Kung Fu Hustle.
God,
that's more of like a comedy
movie.
With action, and it's got more CG in it. Whereas this is like the same thing, but gritty and realistic.
Yeah.
So
and I think it needs.
And Ong Bak, if you've seen Ong Bak and you like that.
That's definitely in the vein of Ong Bak, I think, here.
Yeah. They use a lot of Muay Thai in this one.
Yeah.
It's Muay Thai with knives, basically,
yeah.
is the best way to describe it.
And I think it's a lot to be said about a movie with $1 million budget when you can make it this quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's shot really, really well.
And there's a lot of
very
like slow-mo shots, and like the camera works really good.
Special effects with the gunshots.
16mm here.
Yeah.
I mean, he does the Paul Greengrass thing where he shakes the camera sometimes, but when the fighting's going on, you never lose track of
it's easy
who's
to follow.
Hitting who.
It doesn't get confusing.
And where you are. You never lose that sense of space that you kind of lose in the Bourne movies.
Especially when they're going upstairs or
moving.
Yeah.
Anything in Bourne, even when they're sitting in a room talking.
Yeah.
They really went overboard.
In the second
in
one, whenever he's going to talk to the daughter or whatever, that one woman.
Oh, to the,
they're still shaky cam.
Yeah, it's like,
why?
If I was in a room watching people talk, I wouldn't be
shaking
my
cam,
head.
Yeah.
Like,
bobbing and weaving.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Not necessary.
But I really enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
Good recommendation, Justin.
Yeah.
And thanks for showing up, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate your questions and comments. What do you think about The Raid Redemption? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Tell us why. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.